The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Friday. So glad that you've joined us on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are continuing today in our two-part series with musician Brent Lamb. He is telling us a very interesting story, and I think you're going to be blessed by what he has to share. Before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about all of the free resources that are available on our website, faithalone.org. Now, I'll come back at the end to tell you more about that, but as for right now, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Brent Lamb. This is Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show, and thank you for tuning in.
Now, Sean, I need to tell them what happened here.
All right, what happened?
Well, we did a one-time deal with Brent Lamb talking about his...
Your worship pastor.
My worship pastor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who told his story about how the Lord had used music in his life and as a ministry, et cetera, and is still using music as a ministry in his life. And so we were done, and off go the headphones, and we're all just standing around talking, and story after story came back, and Sean's like, let's do one
good
more.
Stuff. Let's just do one more show.
All right.
And maybe three or four more shows. Yeah. I don't know. But one more show. And I had said in the last episode, and you guys need to tune in to the last episode wherever you're listening, on Stitcher or YouTube or wherever. In the last show, I said you had a gift for discipling people. And that is, you were just telling us a story about what you did in Nashville for all the starving artists who'd come in and people would refer them to you. And I just want to talk about that because this is something anyone in church can do and should do with their family, with their friends, with their coworkers. But you have a gift for it, I think. Discipling someone one-on-one. How did you start this personal ministry of discipling people?
I started when I was 34. Okay. I was married, three kids. I started in 1978. By 94, I'm in it and I'm making a living singing and writing songs and producing little records and stuff. And I meet this guy named Steve Farrar in Oregon.
Steve Farrar, is that the guy that did the men's ministry and all that? Yeah.
Yeah. So I meet him, and he says, man, so tell me about yourself. So I tell him. And he looks at me and says, you're a busy young man. I was like, yeah. And then he looks at me and he says, what's your plan? I'm like, what do you mean plan?
Yeah.
He goes, what's your plan? You need a plan. So what plan? He said, what's your plan to make sure that you stay married, that your kids believe in Jesus and walk with him, and that you finish strong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your plan? I said, I don't have a plan. He says, you need to get a plan. And he started mentoring me. He asked me to go on the road with him for his men's conferences. And we didn't agree on everything, you know, but I became his warm-up act.
Okay.
And so I had little kids and he had teenagers. And then Stu Weber was his best friend, and Stu is an author, and he was a Green Beret and Army Ranger in Vietnam.
Wow.
Like, he's a real Rambo, you know?
Right.
And I got to sit there in my early 30s watching these older guys. I found out that they're only 11 years older than me. When you're 34 and somebody's in their 40s, they're old.
Yeah, right. Actually, you guys are the old dudes to me.
Yeah,
so there
that's
you go.
Right.
So, yeah, so they helped me walk through and they started mentoring me. Well, obviously, they said, you need to turn around and be mentoring. It's Paul and Barnabas and Timothy. It's like,
yeah,
we're pouring into you. You need to be pouring into other people. And that's what I started doing. And
so how do you find someone to pour into? How does that happen?
I just went to my pastor and said, look, if you know of any guys, young guys, that are single and thinking about marriage or newly married or new dads, I didn't have anybody when I first started having kids. So, and now that I have somebody that I can go to, I want to be that for somebody. And of course, you put the word out, people just start lining up.
And by the way, I love what you just said. I'm sure every pastor listening to this just clapped their hands and was happy. Like, yes, step up. Step up and volunteer to do that work. Your pastor wants an active church. He wants people to help, I imagine, right?
Absolutely.
That's what happened to you?
Yeah, and most guys don't step up because they don't think they're qualified.
Mm.
Well, what do I know? If you know my story, I don't read music. I was born in a family that plays right-handed stringed instruments. And I was born the first left-handed person in five generations. And so I learned to take a right-handed guitar and turn it upside down and taught myself to play it upside down.
And by the way, if you ever visit Capel Bible Fellowship, where Brent Lamb is the worship pastor, you will see that, and you'll notice that something is odd about the guitar, and you won't be able to put your finger on it until you get up real close, and you're like, wow, this guy's playing upside down.
Yeah, and the other thing is I stutter. So just think about this. I don't read music. I play a guitar upside down, and I stutter. So I'm the perfect guy for the platform, right?
Put him on a stage.
Yeah.
Give him a spotlight.
That's why I say step up.
So you stepped up, you put the word out, and people started coming to you for advice. And
yeah, I mean, it was Nashville, and we would talk about music, but they would see my trophies and stuff on the wall in my home office, and I would say, what's your plan?
Yeah,
I see it's being trickled down. What's your plan?
Right.
I don't
right.
have a plan.
Maybe I should mention something about that. You were telling us in the last episode that you have gold records. You've won a Grammy. You've won a couple of those other awards.
Dove Awards.
And I was asking you whether or not those achievements were fulfilling. And then you talked about, Bob, you talked about how that had eternal value because of how you used it.
Right.
I love what you just said. Here are people coming in and they're seeing your rewards, and that kind of gives you credibility. But it gives you credibility not to boast about your life, but to mentor them, to really love on them.
It
gave you an audience,
right.
Not just on the stage, but now an audience for Christ, because they saw this guy's the real deal.
Well, and then they realize I've gained the whole world, but I haven't lost my soul.
Oh,
amen.
So they would see those trophies and then say, okay, let's say all of those are yours.
Yeah.
Let's say we're sitting in your house and all of those, that your name's on all that. What now?
Yeah.
Are you going to serve the king today or not?
Yeah.
That's stuff young guys don't think about, young girls, but I don't mentor young girls. I'm like, hey, you need to meet Mama Lamb.
Yeah.
But that's what we talk about. And just get them talking and get them thinking.
Yeah.
People are living so fast and they're so headstrong on what they want to do. You just got to get them to slow enough and make them think.
Now, you were talking about when you quote-unquote retired, I think it was in 2003, you had people coming to Nashville, lots of them, who were looking to break in, and they were eating noodles, and they were working at a restaurant as a waiter or waitress or something, and they'd want to meet with you. And so you would meet 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. But then you started to say, and that's when we decided to start recording, you said, but you came up with another idea that might be able to be more effective because you got so jumpy by noon with drinking 10 cups of coffee.
And, you know, now at 60, I don't drink any caffeine now.
Is that right?
Yeah, I drink decaf all day, and I drink a lot of coffee. So one of our buddies, Steve Elkins, still makes fun on me because I don't drink caffeine.
Yeah, we've had Steve on the show, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened when you switched to this, instead of the model of every hour you're meeting with a different guy, you started doing something different?
Yeah, we just put the word out and said, okay, Tuesday nights, out at the Lamb property, Mama Lamb's going to cook. Well, that's all you have to say. I don't have to be there. Mama Lamb's going to cook. They're there.
And I see you enjoy her cooking.
Yes, I am her walking testimony. Yeah. When I got married, I was 145. This morning, I was 243. So I'm twice the man I am. So we started having these kids out at the house, and we would feed them. I'm out there grilling chicken, man, as fast as I can cook it. And then I would say, bring me two questions.
Yeah.
And after dinner, we'd go sit somewhere in the living room or out back on the patio, and like, ask me questions. And I fell in love with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I absolutely fell in love with it. And so sometimes we would talk about theology and I'm not like you guys. I'm an Acts 4 guy. I'm untrained and educated, but I've been with Jesus and I can't quit talking about it.
Amen. Amen.
So. And by the way, this is a great approach because this is not a Bible thumping preach at you approach. You're putting it on the person to think about what they're dealing with and to ask you the question. So they're the ones who are initiating it. And that's a lot gentler. That's a lot less intimidating than coming to a person and just starting to preach at them. This is letting them take the first step.
Yeah. And my rule is tell me everything because I don't want to start going down this road. And then you say something like, oh, well, I didn't tell you about that because I was embarrassed. You get it all on the table. Like if there's sin or whatever there is, I'm willing to walk with you through this because I want you well. The Lord wants you well, and I want you well, and you need to be effective for the kingdom. Because if you don't tell me everything or I find you're lying, I will disappear as quick as I appeared. But just to walk with guys and go, look, I have no rocks because I'm a sinner too.
Yeah.
Everybody has a past. And so if you want to get well, I keep hearing Jesus like, do you want to be well? I just walk with them and mentor in it, and then they start growing. I say, okay, look what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
Now turn around and teach that to somebody else.
Interesting. By the way, for anybody who's leading a small group, or if you're just a parent with kids, having them ask, just being open to them asking questions, you will be surprised at what kind of questions and how many questions people have but are never given the chance to just ask someone about it. I have had so many conversations with my own kids where they have deep questions, little kids, if you just give them a chance to ask them. And I just love that you had this. Now, I assume you had an answer to every question.
Oh, sure. I know everything. No, I tell them, like, I reserve the right to say, you know, I'm not sure. I'll have to get back with you on that.
What have you learned over the years? If someone wanted to do that type of discipleship ministry, what is the biggest thing to avoid, and what is the most common sense thing, positive thing they can do?
Man, I would say the thing to avoid is the lie that you're not qualified.
Okay.
And
because who qualifies you?
The Lord does.
The Lord
does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, yeah, when somebody comes to me and goes, hey, can I talk to you? My first thought is, okay, Lord, you're up.
Yeah.
You know, help me, you know, Holy Spirit. Have a seat here.
That is so good, yeah.
And then the thing to do is just show up for work, man. I mean, seriously, look, I mean, you guys know me, but when you really, really know me, I'm the most qualified guy, the most non-qualified guy in the room. And I tell people, it's like anybody in Scripture that God used in a great way, excluding the Lord himself, is the most messed up person in the story.
That's right, that's right.
So, be comforted that you're in the audience and I'm on the platform. I'm the most messed up person in the room. But that's the kind of people that will just show up and trust the Lord to get his work done. He'll use anybody. One of my greatest tools that I use in mentoring is to say, you know, I'm not sure. I'll have to go call somebody or look that up. I'll get back with you.
Amen.
Well, Brent, I've just really enjoyed this time with you.
I have too.
All right, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting Grace in Focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to ask, is there assurance within Calvinism? We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.